So I wanted to begin the new year before we jump into a series to start off talking about prayer. Part of the reason I want to do this is because we asked you to fill out a card this past fall because there was a couple things we really were trying to accomplish and get done. But the first thing I asked you to do, in fact, we put this first, and we meaning the elders of the church, we put this first because we think this is really important. And part of the phrase is up here on the screen. I pledge to pray and pray often for the unique opportunities Thrive Church, our church, has to carry out our mission. So we said, if you could give nothing towards our campaign of trying to pay down and pay off our debt, we don't care about that. We want that first box checked. And I was so thrilled because as those came in and as we looked at all those cards, everybody checked the first box. I was like, wow, listen, this is great, right? It's what a teacher feels like, okay? But everybody got that the most important thing you could do, yeah, we want to pay down the debt. Yeah, we know that's going to help us long term. But the most important thing, the thing we wanted to challenge you to do this year, was to make sure that you pray for our church. So if we're going to make a big deal out of this, and if this is something big that we think is important for us to do, then perhaps it's important to start off the year just reminding all of us, why is it so important that we pray? Why is it so important that that's a part of our walk of following Christ, that we would pray? Not just because my church asked me to fill out a card and I checked the first box. Maybe there's something bigger behind it that you and I can start off this new year maybe a little differently than before, because we might understand this thing called prayer maybe just a little bit better, and therefore can really pray better and understand what's all about and what God has in store for us and in mind for us through this whole thing called prayer. Here's what I know about myself, and probably this is true for several of you in the room, that most of us, we pray in order to get something we want from God, okay? Now, that's true like all ages. Like, you don't have to teach your kids this, okay? Whether you know or not, parents, when your kids come on Wednesday night, we ask them for their prayer request. I mean, the closer we got to Christmas, you know, we felt like Santa. I'm just going to tell you, okay? Dogs, I mean, all sorts of stuff. So I imagine when we start back a week from this Wednesday, we're either going to get, my parents are awesome, right? God is great, or what's wrong with them? Okay, I figure we're just going to get one or the other. So it just turned into that, because most of us, and this is true for all of us, not just our kids, right? Where did they learn it from? They learned it from us, because we're like that. I'm like that. We're all like that. That we tend to pray in order to get something we want from God. Whether it's a new job, whether that's protection for somebody we love, whether that's, just comfort in time. We normally pray because we want to get something. That God has something, and we want to get that something. And so we pray asking God to give us that something that he has. By the end of this morning, I want to flip this just a little bit on this, okay? Because I want us, by the time we are done this morning, to think about this. Do we know what God wants from us? I mean, we know what we want from God. We have a list. There's certain things we'd love for God to do, and in certain order. And probably as we went to the new year, that list has changed and altered maybe a little bit of things that we want, things that we hope God comes and does and works. And in fact, we did that as a church. Why? Because we want God to bless us. We want to be able to carry out our mission. We want to reach the people of our community. And so we're asking you to pray. We're almost kind of caught in that same thing, right? We want something from God. But what does God want from us? And by the time we're done this morning, I hope that we flip that enough so that you understand what God wants from you, what God desires from you. And it's probably something very different than you think that God wants from you. So we're going to be in Matthew 6 this morning. This is where Jesus teaches and gives us his very famous prayer that probably all depends how you grew up and what culture you grew up in, what kind of denomination, what kind of church. You might have memorized this. You might have learned this. You might have said this together as a church. I've been in churches that have done this before. I've memorized this as a kid. And so it's a very famous passage that talks about prayer that I hope will help us to understand what Jesus taught And hopefully by the end, we'll understand what God desires from us when we pray. But first, before we do that, I need you to see something in Matthew 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, you can follow along on the screen. If you have your YouVersion app, hopefully you started the new year, right, got a plan going, reading in your app, you can follow along on the web page. All the verses are there. But in Matthew 6, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is giving. Okay, one of the most famous sermons. That there are three things that he says, the same exact word, when you're doing this, don't do it this way. Okay? And I want to make sure we understand clearly what Jesus is meaning by that, so that will help us to know further what does he want from us in prayer. So here's the first one in Matthew 6. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do. So there's our word. You want to go down a few verses and you say, when you pray, don't be like the, here's our word again, hypocrites, who love to pray publicly in the street corners and the synagogues where everyone can see them. There's our word. He's not done. He'll say it one more time. And when you fast, so when you give up something, okay, when you fast, don't make it obvious as the, there it is, hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled, and so people will admire them for their fasting. Like, wow, that guy's fasting. He must be really spiritual. Now, most of us, when we see that word hypocrites, in our culture, it has a certain context. That means somebody who says one thing and who does another, right? Says one thing and does another. And this happens all the time. We see this. People say, you know, I'm going to give this much away. They really don't give this much away. And so they say one thing and do another. So it's easy for us to say, oh, well, that's what hypocrite means, right? It's a person who says one thing and does another, because that's what we know hypocrite to be. But that's not the word Jesus uses. He uses the word that we use for hypocrites, but it is a very different meaning in Jesus' day. When he uses the word hypocrite, it's actually the word actor, right? It's the word actor. So if you think about this group that Jesus is talking about, most of the people that he viewed as hypocrites were Pharisees, who, let me tell you, both said the right thing and did the right thing. I mean, they had rules upon rules upon rules, and they were the most spiritual, and everybody looked at them and said, wow, God must be pleased with them, and I can't even come close to what they do. I don't think I have a chance. That was the Pharisees, okay? And here comes Jesus and says, oh, by the way, they're hypocrites. Not that they say one thing and do another. They actually say the right thing and then actually do it. They are actors. They are acting. They are acting spiritual. They're praying, they sound good, but their hearts are really far from me. This is what Jesus is getting at. That they sound good, they look good, they seem to have the part, but they are only acting. They are not that real person. They are not really that thing. So when you watch a movie, we watch this all the time, right? Somebody who is an actor who's playing the role of somebody else, right? And the really good ones, you're like, wow, they were really good. They filled that part perfectly, okay? And this is the Pharisees. They looked good, and they had it all down, but they were acting. So Jesus really starts, and you know what he wants us to know? When you give, when you pray, when you fast, don't be an actor. Don't be an actor. Don't put on a show, okay? Your giving, your praying, your fasting is for one person. It is not for the people around you. It is for God himself. So don't be an actor. Don't fall into that thing where you, oh, well, I got to pretend, and I got to make it look good, and I got to put on a show. Forget all of that. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, don't be an actor. That's not what God desires from us. That's not what God wants from us. In fact, he says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need. Before you ask him, pray like this. And here comes this prayer. Now, before we get to that, I want you to see there's one other place where this appears. And it's actually in a different setting where Jesus isn't just teaching and telling everybody what prayer is like. He's actually going to get a question from his disciples. This is from Luke. Lord, teach us to pray just as John the Baptist, taught his disciples how to pray. So Jesus said, this is how you should pray. And it's the same prayer. It's the same prayer that's listed for us, the same prayer that many of us memorize, the prayer that is recited in many churches week after week. It is that prayer. Here it is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay? That is simply what Jesus taught them. If you want to pray, pray like this. Now, what's fascinating is that I thought for years, okay, that Jesus just came up with this prayer, right? We call it what? The Lord's Prayer. That Jesus came up with this prayer. But they've actually found a prayer that is really, really similar that they can date to about 200 years before Jesus. And in fact, I want you to see this. I want you to see how familiar and how similar this is. And I'm going to make a point why I want you to see this and why I want you to notice this. It's called the Amida, okay? It's called the Amida prayer. And it was something that the Jews would recite. And in fact, if you look it up, if you Google this, okay, you will see that there's lots of different versions of this. But there's a version about 200 years before Jesus came that reads like this. Our Father, the one who dwells in heaven, may your name be holied. May your kingdom come as we do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today the bread of today and deliver us from the evil one. Cursed be he. Okay? And they would say this about every day. They would gather in groups and they would actually say this. This was very common for them to do it. Okay? And this is the Amida. This is something that Jesus did. And part of it, you know what he's saying? You know how to pray. There's no magic formula. I know what you think. You think if I teach you the right way to pray and I teach you what buttons to push and how to say the right words, God would be like, wow. Have whatever you want, right? Have whatever you want. Jesus is like, there's no magic formula. Stop looking for one. Stop looking for how do I say the right words to get what God to get God to do what I want, okay? That's not how we approach God. And that's why I think Jesus did what he did. You know how to pray. You know how to pray. What are you doing? In fact, there's one difference. There's one, and it's a big difference, okay? So go back to that, and I'll see if any of you see what's missing in this prayer called the Amida, which, by the way, has never appeared ever, even after Jesus, in this prayer, that Jesus added to this because he felt like it was really important. There's a huge difference, okay? So here it is again. Our Father, the one who dwells in heaven, may your name be holied. May your kingdom come as we do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the bread of today and deliver us from the evil one. Cursed be he. Anybody catch what's missing? Forgive us. Yeah, this is a huge part that's missing. And in fact, it appears nowhere ever in this prayer before Jesus, after Jesus. This section doesn't include. So it's like Jesus is saying, guess what's really important when you pray? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is really important. And you got to understand, for Jesus' audience, it would have been, yeah, but God forgives. Right? Jesus was even questioned about this once. But God forgives. I have no part in forgiveness. Yeah, you do. Because people hurt you. And people do things to you. And there are people in your past you want to just avoid, get rid of. And it's because there needs to be forgiveness. You have to find the power from God to let that go. And to be free from that. So that you can be healed, that you can be whole, and that God can continue his great work in your life. And that's why Jesus is going to add this. By the way, he's like, hey, I'm going to add something to this. Something that's been missing. Something that you really, really need. And that is this idea of forgiveness. To forgive. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. The forgiveness that we need was missing from this idea that they would pray every day, asking God to work in a powerful way in their life. So prayer is about confession, asking for needs, protection, and forgiveness. These are all things that we pray for. These are all things that are included in Jesus' prayer, in this Amida prayer that he takes and uses. These are all things that we should be praying for and that are normal parts of prayer that we should see as part of our life. You ought to be confessing. times that you've gone off track and you've done things you know you shouldn't do, God invites us, come, confess that. Be free from that. Asking for needs. I love this phrase, to give us today the bread of today. That is just saying, God, you know what I need today. You know what encouragement I need today. You know what help I need today. So if you've ever been there in your life, okay, and you were struggling on a certain day, and you got a text from somebody, or you read a Bible verse, right, or you got in the car and you flipped on the radio station, and 107.1 has these testimonials all the time. Oh, I was having a terrible day, and I got in the car and I flipped it on, and here was this song, and it was just perfect, okay? Do you understand? That is God answering, give me the bread I need today. Give me exactly what I need to make it through today. Give me exactly what I need, enough of what I need to get through my day. What a great prayer. And God is so faithful to answer that most of us just at times forget about that. Wow, this is God answering that. When he puts someone in my life, and when someone helps me out, when someone encourages me, and I have just what I need for today, to get me through today. That is God's greatness and goodness at work in our life. They say, I'm going to give you exactly what you need today. I'm not going to give you this huge abundance so you have stuff for tomorrow and the next thing. No, I'm going to give you exactly what you need for today to make it through. But now we're going to go back to our question. Do we know what God wants from us in prayer? We know what we want. And Jesus even taught us, hey, here's the things you should be praying about. You should be confessing. And you should be asking for protection from the evil one who would just love to mess up your life and just to get you off track and to get you doing your own things instead of what God has in store for you. You should be praying for all those things. You should be praying for forgiveness for the people who have hurt you, that you would be free. You should be praying for all these things. But there again is our side, right? What we are praying for. But we know what God wants from us. I think this could set off our year in a totally different direction if we could grasp this for just a moment today. Okay? And that is that God wants us to know him. God wants us to know him. That's why he wants us in his word reading. That's why he wants us to pray. Because he wants us to know him. That's his desire. That's what he has done, that we would know him. And I want to show you this in two different ways. I want to show you how this looks like in the New Testament to the church that Paul wrote to in Ephesus. And I want you to see this in the Old Testament, in a place maybe you never thought you thought God wanted to know somebody. Okay, here's the first one. This is from the book of Ephesians. Paul prays, I keep asking. So he's praying, right? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's Paul's entire prayer for the church. I just pray that you would know him better. And there's some ways you can do that. There's some ways that you can do that. But I would just pray you would know him better. That you would get to the end of this year, the end of 2020, and say, you know what? I know God better. I don't forget facts. Forget, oh, I've learned all these cool things. I've learned he's omniscience, omnipotence, right? Right. I've learned all these things. Forget all the facts that you would know him. Do you know what his desire is? Do you know what he wants for you in your life? Do you know that he has you in the place that you're at right now? Because he wants you there. And he desires that you be there because he wants to work through you where you're at. That by the end of 2020, you'd say, I know him better. I know him better. I know what he wants. I know who he is. I know what he desires for me. Do you know this is what God has always wanted? And not just from his people. That God has wanted everyone to have that same opportunity to know him better. Let me show you an example from the book of Exodus. So the book of Exodus, we have, right, Moses going before Pharaoh, let my people go, and Pharaoh just, right, resists stubbornness. No, I'm not going to do it. Okay, so there's all these plagues. If you ever read through those and went, oh my goodness, what's going on? Okay, so I want you to see one of them. Okay, this was the plague of frogs. Frogs everywhere. And maybe you like frogs, but I don't think I'd want them everywhere. Okay, now maybe you like frog legs. Okay, and you're thinking, this is going to be a good day to eat. Okay, but other than that, Who wants frogs everywhere? So just think about it, there's frogs everywhere. Moses comes back to Pharaoh. Okay, Pharaoh, send word that you're going to let the people go and they'll be gone. Okay? And when do you want them gone? Is kind of this conversation that happens. And you'd think Pharaoh would say, well, right away. Okay? These frogs are stupid and ridiculous and they're everywhere. I want them gone. But he doesn't do that. He actually tells Moses, I want them gone tomorrow morning. Like, what? Pharaoh, what are you doing? Okay? And part of what Pharaoh wants to know, I want to know this God. How powerful is this God? Can he turn it off like this? Or is he power and precision and he can turn it off when he wants to? Okay? So this is Moses' response to Pharaoh saying, do it tomorrow. It will be as you say, that you may, here's our word again, know there is no one like the Lord our God. That same word appears. It's the same word, okay, that gets translated in Ephesians chapter 1 as know him better and here as that you would know him. Pharaoh, do you know what God really wants? God wants you to know him. That you give up all this God idling and stuff that's going on in Egypt that you're a part of and you're the head of. You know what Pharaoh, God wants more and more? He wants you to know him, Pharaoh. He wants you to know him. And if he's got to put frogs everywhere and do everything so you would know who he is. I don't think of it like that. I'm thinking God's coming in just wiping them out and destroying them. And actually, he's doing everything that they would know him. Do you remember David when he entered the Valley of Elah? And there's Goliath over there and he's just cursing God and cursing the Israelites. And David just doesn't understand why somebody doesn't do something about it. Do you know what he says after he says that, you know, I'm going to kill you and cut off your head, right? Do you know what he says? That you would know, there's our word again, that there is a God in Israel. Philistines above everything. Okay, your giant's going to fall and God wants to know you. And if he's going to drop your giants, okay, so that you would know him and know that there's something more powerful than anything you follow and you believe, he will do that. See, we don't read it like that, do we? We think, no, there's God coming in and vengeance and anger, Old Testament, blow everybody up, kill everybody and wipe everybody out, God. And he does everything so that people would know him. Have you ever thought he's put everything and allowed everything in your life for a reason? And he does everything that you would know him, that you would know him. And perhaps this year, you would get to know him better, and that prayer would be this piece that maybe has been missing in your life, where you would get the opportunity to know him and know him better. So don't be an actor. You don't have to put a show on for anybody else. When you pray, when you give, when you fast, you don't do it for anybody else. You have the opportunity to know God better. And I think that would be a great thing to happen this year. Now, when we get to December and you're like, oh my goodness, we've completed this year already and we're back onto something else, they'd be like, wow, you know what happened this year? I got to know God better. Couple of practical suggestions, you know, because sometimes it's just hard and difficult. You might pray from a list. We put a list out every week. We make that list, kind of available in our Facebook group if you would like. So you have, you know, okay, how do I pray and how do I figure this out? There's a thing called prayer journaling. If you'd like to know more about it, you can talk to me. Where sometimes if you don't know what to pray, do you know that most of the Psalms are David praying? Protect me from my enemies. All right? Solomon prays for wisdom. That there are so many prayers listed for us in scripture that times I jot those down and learn about those and do those help me to know God better. But can I just invite you that God would love for you to know him better, that you would know his heart, that you would know his desires, that you would see what he has in store for your life this year. So we're going to pray together. We're just going to ask God to help us just really change our mind about prayer. That prayer is not about getting God to do for me, but about getting to know him better. And that would be a huge change in your life this year. Dear Heavenly Father, I would just pray in these moments that you would change our mind, our approach. We're just going to be honest this morning. We pray because we want. And we know that the God of the universe can do anything. And we want you to do something for us. It's our number one motivation, number one reason why we pray. We want to change that this year. As we have made a commitment to pray for our church, that you would just work in incredible ways. That you would help us to reach outside of these walls to the people who are far from God, who your desire is that they would know you. That you would help us to see prayer differently, embrace it differently, and be people who know you better. What a goal to set forth this year. What a great resolution. 2020 is the year I know God better than I ever have before. And at the center of that is this idea that you desire for us to pray. To confess, to ask for protection, to ask you to meet our needs, to ask you to help us to forgive those because of how it has changed the course of our lives. Help us this year, Father, to know you better and to make prayer a priority in our life and to see what you might do, to see how it changes our approach, to see how differently we look at you because we know you better this year. Do a great work, Father, this year in us, in our church, in our community, that we would know you better. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Allow me just a couple moments to hit some announcements before we take our offering this